But Father, we thank you for these words and for your word through Yahushua Mashiach, our Lord and Savior. Tonight, it's going to be, the call is beware of success. We all seek success, which is very noble, but we got to make sure success can also destroy us, as it has done many people, as we will see. But we begin with Proverbs 30, verse 7 through 9. You're going to have to go there. I left everybody a card. You want to put this in your vehicle or put it in your pocket, your wallet. And if somebody wants to read that.
Two things have I asked of thee, withhold them not from me, ere yet I die. Vanity and falsehood, remove far from me. Neither poverty nor riches give me. Feed me with the food appointed me, lest I be full and deny and say, who is Yahweh? Or lest I be impoverished and steal and do violence to the name of my Elohim.
Amen. It really says it all. You know, I don't want poverty and I don't want riches. Now, obviously, nobody ever wants poverty. Now, there are people who can handle riches. But as we're going to find out, some people can handle it and other people it destroys. And I think before we even begin, this is many times the pastor's dilemma. So when a pastor, if he starts his own church, nobody can fire him. And so he doesn't have to please people. He just pleases the people that comes in, I guess. And for somebody who is hired as a pastor, which most people are, their deacons pick them, they can be fired. And they will be fired if they don't do what the deacons want. And so that obviously compromised the word. And it can be just the opposite, or also, not the opposite, but it can be, I think, with Kenneth Copeland, say, for instance, what you can do is have so much success, instead of, and once you're enlightened on truths that go against the traditions of men, you don't expound those truths, afraid you're going to lose that success and your income's going to drop. So these guys have become multimillionaires through Christian ministries, owning jets, private jets and everything else, which I don't think there's any way that Yahweh ever expected that to happen. I think you become compromised. And we're going to see that happening also. But let's go to Deuteronomy 8, verse 10, 20. And there's warnings on that. This is Moses. And so then thou shalt eat and be satisfied and bless Yahweh thy God for the good land which he has given unto thee going into the land of promise. Take heed to thyself lest thou forget Yahweh thy Elohim as not to keep his commandments and his regulations and his statutes which I am commanding thee today. Lest thou eat and be satisfied and goodly houses thou build and inhabit, and thy herd and thy flock increase, silver and gold increase unto thee, and all that thou hast increased. And so thy heart be what?
Lifted up.
That's what happens. Our heart lifted up. I did this all by myself, I believe. And so I really don't need Yahweh because I'm just brilliant. And that's usually what the case is. You forget. And thou forget Yahweh thy Elohim who brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of servants, who caused you to journey through the great and terrible desert, a fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty waste, where was no water, who brought forth for thee water out of the flinty rock, who fed thee with manna in the desert. Remember where you came from. That's what he's showing. You were servants. You were slaves. Which thy father had not known, that he might humble thee, and that he might put thee to proof, to do thee good to thy hereafter, and lest thou should say in thy heart, my own strength and might of my own hand has got me this wealth. But thou shalt remember Yahweh thy Elohim, that it was he who has been giving thee strength to get wealth. So who's got to remember that? And so that he might establish his covenant, which he swore to thy fathers as to this day. But it shall be, if thou forget Yahweh thy Elohim, and go after other gods, and serve them, and bow thyself down to them, I testify against you today, that you shall perish, like the nations which Yahweh is causing to perish from before you, so shall you perish, because you would not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim. And this happens, you know, in churches, denominations, in businesses. So it's probably the exception rather than the rule of some people who can get very prosperous and who realize it's from Yahweh.
Hobby Lobby.
Yeah, Hobby Lobby, David and Barbara Green are like that. And you never know. There's a lot of people out there who don't know, who obviously...
Because they're not bragging about
it. Yeah, we're going to see it. And we're not going to go there. But everybody knows Zacchaeus. Remember, and that was in Luke 19:8, where he says, he was a tax collector, and he's wealthy. And he says, half my goods I give to the poor. Wow.
50%.
50%. That person knew Yahweh. And that's why Christ chose him. And people think that righteousness doesn't matter. Yes, it does. So Cornelius was righteous, and that's why he appeared to him. Who was the woman who was raised from the dead in Acts?
Righteous Dorcas?
Yeah, she was righteous. She got this. And so you got to realize righteousness has a huge factor. Now we go to Abraham, which obviously we know he was wealthy, and that's Genesis 13:2. We're going to see the people who can handle it. And the person who did, guess what? Lot was really wealthy. Lot was also wealthy, as Abraham. So wealthy they had to split. How did it turn out for Lot?
Not well.
How much did he get to take with him?
Yeah.
Probably the clothes on his person. And maybe some coins. Lost everything. Being in Sodom. Abraham lose everything? Absolutely not. So Lot and his wife and his daughters went to a place they should not be. So 13:2, here's Abraham. So Abram came up out of Egypt, and is Abram, which means a father. A-B is father. Came up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him towards the south. Now Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Wow. Okay. And we know he ended a good life. We go now to Isaac, chapter 26 of Genesis. Yahweh wants to bless us. And he says, I think in a Proverbs, that if your hand is extended to help the poor, it will keep coming. And so that's walking in faith and realize by my wealth that's come to me is from Yahweh, it's His, and I will distribute it as He directs me.
Amen.
26, verse 12 through 14.
Verse what?
12 through 14. You want to read that, Melania?
And Isaac sowed in the land and found in the same year 100-fold, seeing that Yahweh had blessed him. So the man waxed great and went on and on waxing great until that he had waxed exceedingly great.
That's pretty good. That's a lot of waxing.
That's a lot of waxing.
Yeah, but that is, well, you got waxing and, you know, which is building, and exceedingly waxing. Boy, you're there. Go ahead.
So he came to have possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a large body of servants, and the Philistines envied him.
Okay, everybody saw that. Yahweh's blessing this person, and that's our lives. We've had that many times. Great, great blessings. In relationship to the world, we're kings. We're probably in 1% of the world's population that have the life we have right now. Because of Yahweh and Christ and us obeying their word, being faithful to the word. Now we know Moses. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Success did not bother him. Actually, he turned down success. 11, verse 24. And 26.
Hebrews 26.
No, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 26.
What's that page? 26 chapter.
Page 231. By faith, Moses, when grown up, refused to be called the son of a daughter of a Pharaoh. Well, is that cutting off some money?
Yes,
it is. You just cut off money. Rather choosing to be jointly what? Suffering? Ill treatment with the people of Elohim, of Yahweh? That for a season to be having sin and that for a season to be having sin's enjoyment? So he said, okay, I'm going to be, and that's really a Democrat today. You know, you're selling your soul for possessions today. And you're going to realize in the next life, you're done. When it comes down to it. And that is what Moses, I'm looking the other way. I'm giving up betraying Yahweh in order to gratify myself. Accounting as greater riches than Egypt's treasures, which is the son of Pharaoh, that's huge. The reproach of the anointed one, for he was looking away unto the recompense. By faith he forsook Egypt, not putting in fear of the wrath of the king. So we're seeing Moses right there. I'm taking it. It also shows you about Zacchaeus. He's giving half his money to it. You know, it's interesting. Yahushua did not come to the high priest. He didn't come to the Pharisees or the pastors today. And so we've got to realize many times, if Yahushua is alive today, he can appear as anybody he wants to appear. He can go into any establishment he wants to be. We are his representatives. If we're repelled by teachings that a church offers, so is Christ. And so Christ isn't going to enter those churches except to bring wrath upon them unless they change, give them warnings. So we've got to realize that. And so many times he's in the places that nobody would ever expect, just like Yahushua was in the places that completely confounded any kind of Hebrew, you know, religious people of whose houses he went in and whose house he was not in. He didn't sell himself, so obviously he could handle wealth. Yahushua can handle wealth very well. Now we go to Solomon and the people who was it was corrupted. 1 Kings chapter 10. Solomon could handle it maybe 30 years, maybe 35, but it said in his old age, it broke. And it was, remember, what's usually going to break you is people are going to take you away from Yahweh's word. In order to please them, you're going to sell your soul like Moses would have done if he would have stayed in Egypt. You know, he would have sold his soul. Solomon, by his foreign wives, broke him down. And that is, let's look at chapter 10, verse 23 and 25.
Chapter 10, verse what?
23 to 25. You want to read that, Aaron?
So King Solomon became greater than any of the kings on the earth, for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth did seek the face of Solomon to hear his wisdom, which Elohim had put in his heart. And they did bring every man his present, vessels of silver, vessels of gold, and garments and armor, and spices, horses and mules, a rate a year in a year.
Wow. I mean, now we go to chapter 11 of 1 Kings, 1 and 2, and here's the asterisk that comes behind our names, and it can't become our names. The King Solomon, but. And so you don't want to have a but. Melania is so great.
But.
All right, but. King Solomon loved many foreign women. And here's just an example. You know, people here, you know, I have a lot of contact with a lot of pastors and people in churches. And when I'm inspired to write them, to give them things, I have written the most powerful ones in our city and contacted them. And even been in their church, admiring them, and all of a sudden there's a point where all of a sudden you're rejecting the word, and now I got to go. And so we're going to find out also, I was there to give them instruction. You know, when they went against what the Word says, you give them instruction of what the Word actually say. Now, if they don't want to hear that, what are they going to do? Push you away. They're not going to respond. They're not even going to talk to you. And so what can happen is, we know according to Matthew 18, it says, if a brother is in sin, and you see it, you take him off to the side and talk to him about his sin. That's their job. So when I write people, I'm doing that to say, well, this is wrong, what you just did. And here's actually the book. Give them Rotherham Bible. Introduce them to Yahweh. You know, give them Greek texts to validate that you're the people will say, when Christ was on the cross, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That's not in the text. And it's in their Bible, but they're not looking at their footnotes to say that's not in the text. You know, you're a pastor. You should know these things. So I give them the book so they can do that. Now, do they ever respond to me? No. So I never get a response back.
Well, one guy did, right?
Yeah. Oh. And so, which is, if I'm wrong, then they should say, hey, thanks, but no thanks. Now, I'm going to disagree with you because here. They probably get a lot of different things. You know, I have given books with no response whatsoever, you know, in the mail to a lot of people. But no matter what, I'm doing, so I'm Yahweh's messenger and Christ's messenger to try to make you accountable. But guess what? When I stop and none of this is being received, you know what happens? We're going to find out Yahweh leaves. And guess what? You're not contacted anymore. So whenever somebody is pestering you about your life, it just really could be that Yahweh's contacting you through this person. And when you say, get away from me, leave me alone, and they will leave you alone. And that's Yahweh going to leave you alone. Christ is going to leave you alone. Goodbye. And we'll see that all, you know, we're going to see that through these things. You know, you grab the prophet. You know what you do to the prophet? You kill him. Why'd you kill the prophet? Because he spoke Yahweh's word. Why'd you put him in prison? Because he spoke Yahweh's word. You know, he pointed a flaw at me. How dare that person, which we're going to see. And so you've got to realize, I want criticism. You know, I solicit it. I ask for counsel according to the word. According to the word, a person can say, well, I don't like your haircut. You know, this has no bearing whatsoever. Or the clothes you wear, that has no bearing. But if I'm misquoting the word, then I need to know about it. And a person needs to do that. And how we know they do that? You take one aside. And then if they don't listen to you, you take two or three aside. And if they don't, then you bring the church in front of the church and do that. Now we're going to see, here's his wives, back to King Solomon. Loved many foreign women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, Hittites, out of the nations concerning him. Yahweh has said unto the sons of Israel, you shall not go in unto them, and they shall not come in unto you. Surely they will turn aside your heart after their gods. That's the same way with us. We are going to be corrupted by built up by the company we keep. If your company are not steadfast believers, you're going to be corrupted. You're either going to exhort them to come to Christ, or they're going to tell you to go away from Christ. So you got to make sure if Christianity bothers you, then I can't be your friend. Real simple. And so otherwise, just don't mention that stuff and we'll have a good old time. Well, you're not a Christian. No, I'm not a Christian. Would Christ fellowship with this person? You have to ask yourself. Would Christ go out and hang out with them, go to ball games, everything else? Heck no. No. Now we go to verse 9 through 11. Therefore did Yahweh show himself angry with Solomon because his heart had turned aside from Yahweh, Elohim of Israel. The wealth, the peace, the prosperity Yahweh gave him exalted him, and he became haughty. Who had appeared unto him twice. And Yahweh always says that. Most people say, if I saw Jesus, boy, I would be right there. I would never change it. If I just saw, I had that contact, and you're like, appeared to him twice, And Yahweh points that out quite a bit. And had been giving command to him concerning this, saying, this is very important. He had been giving command about these things. Why? To the prophets, people sending to him, concerning these things, that he should not go after other gods. But, what? He had not taken heed unto that which Yahweh had commanded. Wherefore, Yahweh said unto the Solomon, now here's one of the churches we go to right now. And he's talking about walking out by faith. So this is a central community church in Wichita. Walking out of faith, like that, is uncomfortable. We want to be comfortable, but many times we have to be uncomfortable to walk out of faith. And I said, great, that's a great story. So I sent him a little note to say, I believe you mean that. Why don't you read 1 Corinthians 4, and it says, I would that you all speak in tongues.
14.
Yeah, chapter 14. I would that you all speak in tongues, but rather that you prophesy. And then at the end, it is covenant to prophesy. And if you want to learn how to speak in tongues, if you want to learn how to prophesy, go to my website. So here's the note. That's it. You know, and you have to say, I love the Lord. And it says, the Lord says, you call me Lord, Lord, but do not what I say. And so if a person's not good, don't call me Lord if you're not going to do what I say, because I'm asking you to speak in tongues. I'm asking you to prophesy. Well, this church is no. Wow, that. Then you're choosing. You're choosing the church over me, my commandments, if that's it. And that's what all these people, and obviously this is what Solomon did with his wives. In 11, wherefore Yahweh said unto Solomon, as much as as this hath come to pass with thee, and thou hast not heeded my covenant and my statutes which I charged upon thee, I will rent the kingdom away from thee and will give it unto a servant of thine. Boy, that's a bad way to end your life.
Because he could have turned like Nineveh.
And
he could turn like Manasseh.
We know that David turned when Nathan came to him and said, "You have sinned," and he said, "I have sinned." You know, and he got forgiven. Turned his life, and he ended very well.
Manasseh, he
was very prosperous too. So David was very prosperous. Now we don't have to. Well, let's go to Jeroboam. Now, 2 Chronicles, most of it's going to be in 2 Chronicles now. Jeroboam's his son. And the 10 tribes was taken away from Solomon under Jeroboam's reign. Chapter 12, verse 1. And one thing, always remember, is if Yahweh is in us, Christ is in us. If he's pushing you to do something, do it. You just got to do it. Well, they're not going to like it. Do it. You know. And if I'm wrong, I did it with a good intention. And so what I can usually do is, if I get the thought to do something, well, I'll just wait on that. I don't know. That could be my mind or whatever. Just wait. Give it 6 hours, 12 hours, and if it's still okay. Otherwise, I got to do that right now. I can wake up 3:00 in the morning. Okay, and I go down the computer, write my own letter,
and
even get to the and put it in an envelope. And I go to my mailbox, put it in the mailbox. Now I can go to sleep.
Yeah,
because it's done. Instead, I'll do it in the morning. No!
I should do it right now.
Okay, and you go up and you go to sleep. Okay, boy, that. Thank you. No, thank you. What a privilege it is to be a messenger for the Creator and His Son. Right? And how much caring it is for you to spend time to help somebody else. You know, how many people are trying to help me? I don't know. I don't have any offers out there trying to help me.
You got family to do.
If you're looking at, what would you really like? How could I help you? You know, I mean, so there is that point where all of a sudden, no, it's not there. And so it's nice to be able to, that somebody shows interest in you to actually help you in your walk. Rehoboam, chapter 12, verse 1, sorry. And it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he did what? Forsook what?
The law of Yahweh.
And all Israel with him. Leadership, leadership, leadership. You people are watching every one of us. And when you break, the family breaks. You know, the family breaks. And so Israel broke. Wow, God. And then we're going to go to, well, let's just keep reading, I guess. So it came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishah, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had dealt treacherously against Yahweh. So Yahweh says, you want protection? It's not happening. With 1,200 chariots and with 60,000 horsemen and without number the people who came up out of Egypt, Libyans, Sokums, and Ethiopians, and he captures the city. The defense was blown to Judah and came as far as Jerusalem. He already lost the 10-12, and he lost the 10 tribes of Israel because of his counselors that told him, don't be, you know, be harder on him. And look what's happening. It's just collapsing. Solomon's empire is collapsing. And Shemaiah the prophet came unto Rehoboam. Here's your speaker, all right? And the rulers of Judah, who had gathered themselves together in Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto him, thus saith Yahweh, you have left me, therefore I also have left you in the hands of Shishak. Then the rulers of Israel and the king did what?
Humbled
themselves, and said, righteous is Yahweh. And when Yahweh saw that they humbled themselves, the word of Yahweh came unto Shemaiah, saying, and it goes on here, but the riches, the power, and all of a sudden, you're losing everything. Did I get your attention? Yeah. Almighty One, so Yahweh can look at it and say, oh, mighty Melania, or mighty Israel, or mighty Wendy. Do you need some help? Well, I thought I did it all without you. No? No. Now he goes Jehoshaphat, chapter 17, same book. And so, why does Yahweh print all this stuff? Give us an example so Isaiah doesn't have to make the same mistakes. I don't have to make the same mistakes. So they'll say, whoa, duly noted. Be very afraid of success. All right? And when you do it, make sure it's all Yahweh's money. What do you want me to do with it? I can be poor, I can be rich. You know, I was poor, and I can be rich. It doesn't matter. Okay, 17:10, verse 13. It came to pass that the dread of Yahweh was upon all the kingdoms of the country that were round about Judah, and they warred not against Jehoshaphat, because he is righteous. And from among the Philistines were they bringing in a Jehoshaphat a present and silver as tribute. Even the Arabians were bringing up unto him flocks, 700 rams, and 7,700 he-goats. And so he was just being loaded up. Now we go to 18:1. And it came to pass when Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance, what did he do? That he contracted by marriage affinity with Oxhab. That's Ahab. His name is really Oxhab, A-X-H-A-B, which means brother, father. Oxhab was called one of the worst kings possible. And you just did a marriage relationship with the worst king possible, with your family. And so he went down at the end of some years unto Oxhab to Samaria. And you're like, man, is that it? Then we go to chapter 19, verse 1 to 3. And so, you know, they go up there, should we go to war with Oxhab? And all the prophets remind me of the people today in the church. Shall we prosper? Yes, you shall prosper. They said, Yahweh said you're going to prosper. Yahweh, Oxhab saying, great. And Jehoshaphat says, isn't there any other prophets that are going to disagree with this guy? Well, there's one, and his name is Micaiah. I hate him.
He never tells me.
Yeah, he never. And that's it. What was that?
Verse 2, second part 2.
Yeah. And I don't go into the story. I hate him. And so he comes up and tells him the truth. You're going to die. And Jehoshaphat's listening to this too. But I have 400 said I'm going to prosper, and one said I'm going to die. And so he says, put him in prison. You know what? That would have saved his life if he would have obeyed Micaiah. who would have saved his life. And so here's a guy that thought he could outfox everything, has his shields on.
Disguised.
You know, disguised. You know, Jehoshaphat looks like the king. So, and Jehoshaphat,
yeah.
You keep your robes on, and we're going to battle. You just stay over here, and I'm going to put on a private's uniform. And so I'm not targeted, because that's kind of scary, so I'm going to die. Watch this. I'm going to put a private's uniform on and go out there. And so they come after Jehoshaphat, you dummy. Oh, he cries out to Yahweh. God, that's called favor.
Grace. Yeah.
And don't push me too much. And then Oxhob is standing there, and all of a sudden an arrow comes out of the sky, and somebody just went, shoot. Came right to his shoulder blades and killed him. And Micaiah, where was Micaiah?
In jail.
In jail.
Like John
he was in jail. And that can be with us too, because a lot of times they don't want to hear that, but you can save somebody's life if they repent. That is Jehoshaphat. Now Uzziah was a great in chapter 26. So we got lesson upon lesson upon lesson. If people would do this. Verse 5, 26 verse 5. And it's U, the spelling is U-Z-Z-I-A-H. U is like O-O. Uzziah. And Z is like zebra. So it's not Zion, it's Zion. 5, and it came to pass that he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who gave understanding in the scenes of Elohim. And throughout the days of his seeking Yahweh, Elohim did what? Prospered him, prospered him, prospered him. Wow. And let's go to 14 and 15. And Uzziah prepared for them for all the host bucklers and spears and helmets and coats of mail and bow and even sling stones. And he made in Jerusalem inventions invented of the inventor to be upon the towers and upon the turrets for throwing. Who gave him these ideas?
Yahweh.
For throwing with arrows and with great stones. So his name went forth afar, for he was marvelously helped. What's the next word?
Until.
Until. It's like a but. You're marvelously helped until he was what?
Strong.
Ow. There is a person who's not going to handle it. And when he became strong, uplifted was his heart unto ruin. For he acted unfaithfully against Yahweh's Elohim and entered into the temple of Yahweh to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Wow. And he became a leopard for the rest of his life. How'd that work out? That's Uzziah. And in Hezekiah, chapter 31, and Hezekiah did great things. So it's consistency. You had a great past. Great. Finish on. Well, I'm gonna count on that. And it says that in Ezekiel, well, my righteousness, I've got 20 years of righteousness. I just want 1 year of flesh, carnal lust. And now you got AIDS, now you got this, you lost your wife, you lost your family, you got a disease, you lost your fortune. How'd that work out for you?
Yeah.
Selling their soul. Because I'm going to rely upon all the good stuff I've done. That didn't work. Verse 20 and 21, and Yahweh hearkened unto Hezekiah and healed the people. And so the sons of Israel who were found in Jerusalem kept the festival of unleavened cakes 7 days with great rejoicing. And the Levites and the priests, am I the right place? Yeah. And the priests were offering praise unto Yahweh day by day with loud instruments unto Yahweh. So great things were happening with Hezekiah, and that was the Passover. Now we go to 32, verse 25 to 30. Let's see here, I say, 25 to 30. You want to read that, Aaron?
But not according to the benefit done unto him did Hezekiah make return. For uplifted, there's another buts, these are all buts. But uplifted was his heart, and so there came upon him wrath, and upon Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the uplifting of his heart, he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So the wrath of Yahweh came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah.
And it came to pass that Hezekiah had riches and honor and great abundance, and treasures made he for himself for silver and for gold and for costly stones, for the spices and for the precious things, and for all utensils to be coveted. Storehouse also for the increase of corn and wine. You know, it just goes on and on and on, the success of Hezekiah. And he humbled. David humbled. You know, so make sure you're ready to be humbled when it comes around to you, or you could end up like Solomon, end up like Oxhob, who was actually warned by Yahweh. And Yahweh will send his prophets. And we don't have to go there, but for people who want to do it, David with Nathan, and that was 2 Samuel 12:1. Saul said Yahweh was silent. He was seeking Yahweh's counsel, and there was nothing. And that's when he went to the witch of Endor. That's 1 Samuel 28:6. Why was he silent? You better humble yourself, because you know the what do they call it? The living spring of water has just stopped. All right, why? Because you're done unless you get down on your knees and beg for forgiveness. And that's like Manasseh did. He really humbled himself. Asa. You know, 2 Chronicles 16:7-10, a prophet came and spoke to him, and he put him in prison. Ahab, Oxhob, and that's Micaiah, and Solomon, obviously. And I just want to show you something about he sent his prophets, he sent his prophets, he sent his prophets. Yahweh loves us. He loves us so much that his son was tortured for us. And so, and his son was the exact representation of Yahweh, it says. So Yahweh was actually tortured for us to turn to help us to do that. That's how much he's willing to do that. But don't press him. And let's just go to Jeremiah 7. You're going to see some things here, which is really remarkable in Jeremiah. 7:25. And so we have a chance to give people truth. I had a person at the state fair, a pastor, talk to me. But if you don't humble yourself to the scriptures, regardless, you want to talk about the Trinity. And I said, okay, all right, you know that Jesus has a God? No, he doesn't have a God. Yes, it's Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1:17, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:3, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, man, there's no Trinity. I mean, but by not accepting the Trinity, you just lost your church. Because now you're not popular. You're actually being called a heretic. Well, I'm not going to go down that path. Okay. I was the prophet to you, and I gave him a card. Rothman Bible, he's got the King James. Terrible. I mean, not terrible, but yeah. Terrible means frightful. So we use it incorrectly. Awful means frightful also. So the word is, you know, you're turning down truth of Yahweh's word. I gave him an opportunity. Christ Yahweh gave him opportunity. What he did with that card will either set his life free or it will remain in bondage by the doctrines of man. Because what you're saying is not what the word Yahweh says. You're saying is what the doctrines of men say. And so how much love Yahweh did on this particular, to maybe one more time. That's the last time I'm going to talk to you. He gave you that truth, and he's given us all that opportunity. So when we are enlightened, if it's true, like I told Melania, if somebody wants to reprove me, if it's true, correct it. If it's not true, who cares? So somebody come up to me and said, you're a fat pig. Is that going to hurt me? The truth, I mean, you know, something that's not true does not hurt. Something that's true does hurt if I'm in rebellion against Yahweh. And if that, well, do it. Fix it. And don't shoot the messenger. Be thankful. Say, thank you very much for doing that for me, because that means you care about me. Most of the time is, I'm not going to bring there. I'm not going to bring up that subject, because that might end our friendship. Well, what kind of friend are you to allow somebody to continue in sin and not say a word about it? And guess what? Okay, Isaiah, there's Christ. That's really bad. And these are recorded because there's a judgment seat. And when we come to the judgment seat, he says, Isaiah, remember that person I sent to you? Well, that heretic, that guy didn't like me. He said I was wrong. I said you were wrong. Oh, that was you? Yeah, that was me. Mm. That was, remember that day? If you don't remember, thunk, put it in your head. Oh, yeah, the video, whole presentation. You can't say, that didn't happen. Bink, 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 and you have to say, we just got to get right.
That's scary.
But here's Jeremiah's. Well, that's wonderful to say, just live right. And when you're not right, what do? Get on your knees and say, help me. I humble myself. I'm sorry. And guess what? He goes, good job. And then you say, what can I do for you? 7:25. That was right here. Now look at this statement. I'm trying to find 7:25. There's 20. Next page. Even since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt unto this day, have I sent unto you all my what? Their servants, the prophets. Daily betimes sending them. Yet what?
Hearken not.
Unto me. Oh, I thought the prophets were speaking. Oh, the prophets were speaking. It was Yahweh speaking through the prophets. Look at this. Chapter 25:4. Jeremiah is the end of Jerusalem. The end of Israel being taken away, this book is. That's how bad it's got. Israel's already gone. Now it's Judah. 25:4. And Yahweh sent unto you all his servants the prophets, betimes, sending though you hearken not, neither inclined you ye your ear to hear, saying, return, I pray you, every one from his wicked ways and from the wickedness of your doings, so shall remain on the soil which Yahweh hath given to you and your fathers, even from age to age. But do not go after other gods to serve them and to bow down to them. So shall you not provoke me to anger with the works of your hands, and I will not bring calamity upon you. Howbeit, you hearken not unto me, declareth Yahweh. Look at that. 29:19. This is over and over and over. I just saw this and I look at this pattern. Because they hearken not unto my words, declareth Yahweh, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, betimes sending them, yet hearken they not, declareth Yahweh. 35:15. And I send unto you all my servants of prophets.
Hold on.
And I send unto you all my servants of prophets, betimes, sending, saying, return, I pray you, every man from his wicked way, and amend your doings. And here's something else I've got to realize. It's cool not to look like a Christian. All right? You don't bring any judgments that way. I can go to the state fair and nobody knows I'm a Christian. Right? I just wear regular clothes. I have a regular car. There's no evidence whatsoever that I'm a Christian. Wow. Is that going to help anybody at all? No. Because there could be somebody out there that all of a sudden you have something Christian on. You know, I was, just an example, I was at the airport and at Chick-fil-A, which is a Christian place, it looked like a homosexual, a young black homosexual was running the cash register. And he was singing and having a good old time, and this was 6 o'clock in the morning, and I had Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of Yahweh's God and Father. And when I walked to that cash register and he looked at that shirt, bam, something really clicked with him. And he was no longer smiling. I never said a word. But those words convicted him. And it could save his life, because that kind of encounter could save his life, because all of a sudden my darkness now has found me out. Because there's a Christian here. He found me out. But most of the time, I don't want to do that because, and you know, I'm not exalting myself or anything else, but once you do things, it brings light into the situation. And even at the park today, we're at the Botanica, and here's a woman working there, and she says, I like your shirt. You know what you say? Well, God bless you. She says, God bless you. And so you just bless somebody because you identified yourself as a Christian. Isn't that great? So the darkness can say, I was at one other place, it was at the state fair, and I'm sitting in a booth waiting for my wife. We're eating there, and here's a guy who comes down with tattoos. He's got a tattoo of Satan on his arm. A red tattoo and Satan on his arm. And I'm sitting there with my shirt. Jesus Christ is Lord. And he looks at me and he with his daughter, and you're like, here. Now, maybe it was just a joke at one particular time, but you're pretty committed because you got the devil, you know, with the horny face right on your arm. And but it could be, look at this guy. And I chose his path and he chose that path. And we're at the same table. And so what did that do? So Yahweh can work in so many. And Wendy says, on our vehicles, you have more people who compliment. I love your bumper stickers. I love what's on your car because there's scriptures on your vehicles. They're reading scriptures. And it's convicting people. And it's also rewarding them too. Hey, that's a brother in Christ. Or that's an enemy. Either way, but I got a reaction either way.
I don't get that. I get mostly, boy, I like that.
Well, that's wonderful. But that's, now I'll try to finish this up. 35:15, and I send unto you my servants the prophets, because I'm sending saying, return I pray you. So that's the same thing. One more time, 44:4. So all I did is do it, sending my prophets. And look what happened on Jeremiah. It's just all over the place. Yet I 44:4. Yet I send unto you my servants, the prophets. I love that. My servants, the prophets. My servants. And so Isaiah, are you a servant? And Ezekiel, are you a servant? And Melania, are you a servant? Am I a servant? And can you call yourself wholeheartedly, I'm a servant of Yahweh? And if you can't, become one.
Yeah.
You know, people say, yeah, I don't know if I'm really fitting that mold. I'm going to become one. And but we'll end there.
I love that part in Chronicles where it says that that's where they got the king got a letter from Elijah.
Yeah.
Elijah's supposed to be dead, and he's not. He's retired. Yeah, he's still sending letters out.
And really, this is something Yahweh really got him. Because guess what? Jeroboam, and that's Jehoshaphat's son, who murdered his seven. His brothers through Athaliah, his wife, who is from Jezebel, and Ahab. So not only did he piss them off, guess what? Elijah prophesied the hideous death you're going to suffer. He says, you're going to have a disease of the intestines where your bowels are going to fall out.
Yikes.
Wow, that was prophesied. Now think of that. That was prophesied because of what you have done. And guess what? 2 years later, it said he died a horrible death, fearful death, where his bowels fell out. Whew. And so did you piss off Yahweh? And did he bring justice? Yes. Because you murdered innocent people. And could he have repented? Yeah, he could have repented. Okay. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for, we're going to end with a prophecy. Thank you for these words through Mashiach Yahushua. Behold, I abide within you. Rest assured that success is part of your life as you adhere to my word. My word is so simple. Act on it. Let it live inside you. And walk with me hand in hand. And the world many times will despise you. But I love you and embrace that instead of what the world has to say about you. All right, see you next week.
I want to tell you.